The following is a conversation with Joe Allen, the Managing Director for Accelerator Programs at the University of New Brunswick. Joe is an entrepreneur with his own brewery. He is also a mentor and a community leader. Tell me a little bit about your journey and how you became Managing Director of Accelerator Programs at the University of New Brunswick.
No, absolutely. So I started out actually as an accountant. I got my business degree from the University of New Brunswick back in 2002. Worked for KPMG for a few years and then went on to become CFO of a couple of companies, and then had an opportunity to work in economic development with the province here, and it was a lot of fun. It was an opportunity to work with companies. Some were struggling, some were going strong, but it was always nice to be able to get in there, roll up my sleeves, and help things along, hopefully, and not be a pain in the backside or a burden on those that I was visiting. From there, I moved. I spent about 8 years with the province. Then I moved to the New Brunswick Innovation Foundation as the investment manager, or the director of investments. For the New Brunswick Innovation Foundation, which operates as a VC arm, essentially, of the government of New Brunswick. And again, great fun, worked with a lot of great companies. But every time you do a good job, they seem to take it away from you. And we got to the point where, we had grown to the point where I was doing more management and less spending less time working with the companies and giving that chance to hopefully make a positive impact on them. So roughly, I guess it's been 5.5 years I've been with UNB, University of New Brunswick, in this role, and really enjoy it. We've had, at this point, since I've started, we've had 16 cohorts go through our program in both the Summer Institute and Energy Ventures, which is two clear and distinct programs that we run. And it's been a lot of fun. And that's kind of how I got here.
I looked at your background. There are some interesting things that you have on there, like Devil's Keep Distillery since 2017 and Upper King's Clear Fire Department since 2004. That's right. And you were also Director of Investments in the Brunswick Innovation Foundation for a couple of years. So yes. Could you share a little bit how those fit into your economic development work?
The honestly, since I was a little boy in the age of 3 or 4, my dad was a volunteer firefighter and I chased him everywhere. And I've since retired from that. It's been probably 3 or 4 years, so maybe I need to update my account, but it's a lot of fun, and it's some great lessons, some great camaraderie. And you know what? People have bad days every day. And until you're, running into someone else's burning house, you realize, you know what? My bad days aren't really all that bad. My house is still standing. My loved ones are still doing well. And everything else is gravy. So that's the firefighter story. And then with Devil's Keep, so I had my business partner, Ray Fitzpatrick, I met at NBIF, at the Innovation Foundation. And again, we worked with a lot of companies and we always had a passion for beer. We are, we enjoy craft beer, and we got to travel a lot with the role. And that gave us opportunity to explore lots of breweries. So we said, why don't we start a brewery? And we quickly realized that here in Fredericton, we have a great craft beer scene. But I think it's number one in Canada on a per capita basis for breweries. So we said, well, do we want to be the last one in? Or is there another route we can take? So we looked at the environment, and we realized that distilling was essentially the next wave of craft alcohol. So we said, why don't we explore that? And the rest is history. We've been at it for 5 years and juggling this and the distillery. But it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, if I have a bad day, I can just have a drink. It's right at my fingertips. So
awesome.
Yeah.
No, thank you for sharing that story. And I love this firefighting thing, like following you in Dad's footsteps. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
In terms of your day-to-day, I wanted to ask, what do you get paid to do as a managing director?
So as the managing director, it's my role to make sure, think of it almost as a CEO role, where I'm making sure that everything is as it should be from a funding perspective, from essentially all the moving parts, program initiatives, and everything essentially that helps keep the program rolling. We're a small team. We are three that are focused on the accelerator piece. Igor takes care of the operations side, and Bell takes care of the programming. So those two team members allow me to really, you know, I can dive into the weeds if I need be, but I can also stay at that 50,000 foot level where I can, you know, make sure that the program is running smoothly, and the vision and the mission is being executed as we would like it to be.
And could you talk a little bit about the accelerator? Is it one program, or do you have a couple of programs, and who do you serve?
Yeah, so we have two programs. I'll start with the Summer Institute. The Summer Institute is kind of what we grew out of. We recognized this predates me, but there was at one point there was an article written in the Globe and Mail saying, "Do we need arts education?" And the thought was absolutely yes, we do. And there are lots of people that you know get an arts degree that have an entrepreneurial spirit. And we said, well, you know, who's servicing this group of people? And we quickly realized that no one is. So we started the Summer Institute with a focus on creativity, with a focus on more what I would call lifestyle businesses and consumer packaged goods businesses. The goal with this program is not to necessarily create a venture backable company. It's to create solid entrepreneurs. We focus first on the founders. That's our number one concern. Are they quality people who have the capacity to do something amazing? And then we say yes or no. And if they are, we say, okay, well, what is the offering? What's the package? What do you sell? And if we feel we can get behind that, we certainly jump at the opportunity. We kicked off our 10th cohort. So I'm looking up at the calendar. Our 10th cohort 2 weeks ago. We're working with five great companies. Our focus with these companies, typically we're not tightly geographically bound, but we really focus on New Brunswick companies first. Our thought is, you know, venture capital backed companies make up 1-2% of the marketplace, and who takes care of the other 99? And that's kind of where we found the niche with the Summer Institute. From that, though, we realized we weren't using the strengths necessarily as well as we could of the engineering faculty at the University of New Brunswick. It is Canada's oldest English-speaking engineering faculty in Canada. We have the oldest computer science faculty in Canada. So we said, we've got this great alumni network, we've got this great engineering school and wonderful faculty, so what can we do that ties into with the faculty a little tighter? And from there, we created Energy Adventures, which is an accelerator that focuses on energy, smart grid, clean tech, cybersecurity, and AI. So we do have five verticals. We do see them interplaying quite nicely, and they really match up with the skill sets of the engineering faculty and as you know, our broader network as a whole. So We are, again, 2 weeks into our ninth cohort. We do two offerings a year of Energia. And we do recruit, we do go a little broader in our recruitment for this. So we have had companies pretty much all across Canada, but we've had a couple from India, a couple from Israel, seven or eight from Europe, three from two from Nigeria, one from South Africa. So we do reach a little broader, but our focus, if we can, is to support local companies and really make an impact. When we do recruit internationally, we do we certainly encourage them to stay in New Brunswick. The University of Brunswick, it's been 6 years ago now, I guess, but we were named the most entrepreneurial university in Canada. And in Fredericton, the year before that, was the most entrepreneurial city in Canada. So we're very proud of what we do, and we've got a great history here. We've had a couple of exits back-to-back that totaled in excess of $1 billion. Not our group, but within the city. So, entrepreneurship and the spirit is alive and well in Fredericton for sure.
Very cool. Congratulations on those amazing achievements.
And I wish I could take credit for it, but...
But other things that you've mentioned, like 10th and 9th cohort, and I love the fact that you're working with different types of founders. So I assume there's tech, energy, clean tech. Those are more kind of your venture-backed kind of types, whereas those, the initial accelerator you talked about, the 99 or 98% who are not being taken care of. How do you combine those two groups within one organization? Do they get to interact? Is the programming similar in any way?
The programming is very similar. It's framed differently though, in that we try to make sure that we're right sizing the curriculum for the cohort. If the cohort is more technical, we'll probably have a little stronger technical bent or angle from where we're coming from with the curriculum. But when it comes down to it, competitive intelligence is competitive intelligence, and whether you're working within a province and don't plan to sell beyond it, or your market is global, you still need the same skill set to understand your market. So we're able to overlay a lot of our curriculum across both, and then what we do beyond that is we really tailor our goal setting, and we tailor the topics that we work with the companies to their needs. So if you approached me and you were very strong financially, maybe we're looking at, level 7 forecasting instead of level 1-2, where, we're really getting your feet wet and teaching you the ropes.
It looks like you are not working with just people affiliated with the university. So what's the incentive for the university to be involved?
So if we roll back the clock 35 years ago, in 1988, the Dr. J. Herbert Smith Center for Technology Management and Entrepreneurship at the University of New Brunswick was created. Mr. Smith was the first, and I'm sure I'm going to get this wrong, but I believe he was the first Canadian CEO of GE. And it may have been GE Canada, but either way, he was a graduate of the university. He had was winding up his career, and he recognized that, we push out some great engineers who don't always have the business skill set that would come in handy in a workplace. So the center was created to create some curriculum for engineering students to have a better understanding of entrepreneurship. Fast forward to 2011, I believe it was. 2011, Dr. Dorinda Shukla joined us, and we've really taken off since his arrival. In the last 12 years, we've helped create or accelerate over 250 companies. So Are we going beyond the engineering faculty to whom we tap for support? Absolutely. We reach well beyond that. We work with as many partners as we possibly can, and as many mentors as we possibly can. And sometimes it's a mentorship that may be a one-off question. You know, I've got a really technical question that only you, the world subject matter expert, can answer. So do you have 20 minutes for this company, for example? So we do tap into the faculty from that perspective, and from a general mentorship perspective, but we also, we reach as far and broad as we can in order to help the companies. From a university perspective, it really helps build our brand. It helps strengthen the brand of the university. MIT is well known. MIT has some excellent entrepreneurs that have come from their program. And the two go hand in hand. As we build entrepreneurs, or we build entrepreneurs, that sounds a little funny, but as we work with potential entrepreneurs, and if they're graduating from the engineering faculty and they come out with this skill set, it only works to strengthen what the university has in their alumni group and helps build the reputation for both the accelerators and the university and the city, for that matter.
Thank you for sharing that perspective. And you mentioned mentorship, and this is kind of the next segue I wanted to talk about. So how do you incorporate mentorship into the work of accelerators or into helping the entrepreneurs succeed?
Yeah, so we recognize that it takes a village, and we want to make sure that we surround our entrepreneurs, our founders, with the right villagers. So we do a couple of styles of mentorship with Summer Institute. It's more one-on-one and office hours and bringing in subject matter experts to help the companies as they grow. I'm just going to take these off. And with Energia and our programs, academic programs, we use the MIT VMS model, where we try to surround the companies with two or three strong mentors, so that there's some consistent touch points, so that we can see the growth. Sometimes it can be, if you don't have that consistent mentorship from, say, week to week to week, you have a new mentor talking about a new subject, you don't always get that same follow-up from the previous week, where the founder walks away saying, yes, thank you for the advice, I'm going to do that, I really appreciate it, and then they forget about it, or no one is there to chase them to say, did you do this? So that is one of the nice thing about the consistent mentorship between say from week to week. We really get that push, that driving force that will force the companies, force the founders to really, stay on top of things, which is part of acceleration. It's meant to be tough, and it's meant to be hard, and it's meant to be, busy. So we make sure that we're there as a tool to help them out, but we're also there as someone that's going to hold them accountable. And when we spread it out amongst our mentors, it certainly makes everyone's job easier if they're hearing it not just from the accelerator team, where it may, I hate to be make it sound patriarchal, but where it's mom and dad saying, did you do your homework, versus it's a peer saying, did you do your homework, which really has helped out.
I'm curious about the flavor, if any, if you add it to MIT VMS. Are you using like the vanilla team mentorship approach, or are there some peculiarities that you've incorporated for your accelerator?
Yeah, so we will quickly switch mentors if there isn't a match, and MIT is the same, but we overlay it with office hours so that, when you do need that subject matter expert, we'll bring in a lawyer or an accountant, and everybody can take their turn with them. But Generally speaking, we're pretty close to the model. We may, because our academic program is a 10-month program. We don't have the touch points as frequent. So we are spreading it out so that you have maybe 6 or 7 touch points throughout the academic year. But that, you know, on top of that, you're working on a master's degree or a diploma in TME. So there's a lot going on anyway. You've got a lot of touch points with your academic advisors and your professors and stuff like that. So I think we do spread it out a little more. But with Energia, this actually will be our first full year diving into it. And we plan on, you know, pretty much sticking to script, I guess would be a way to put it. Previous to that, we had done it a hybrid method. And part of the reason for that was, COVID, we were doing everything hybrid or virtual. So that threw a bit of a wrinkle into it. But now that we're, you know, putting bums in seats again and doing it in person, we realized now's the time to grab the model full force.
And what technology stack do you use, and how much time of the collective effort of the team does it take to run your VMS program?
So with us, because we're a small team, and we have some really strong mentors that have been with us years over years, we keep it real simple. Doodle, spreadsheet, and Outlook. That's about it.
Okay. So I'm biased here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. nice segue. Have I told you about my?
Of course. I know I have. This is something that I'm personally passionate about in terms of kind of enhancing that experience. But every program has to make those choices and figure out what works for them. From a mentor perspective, what does the experience look like, and has it been easy for you to recruit the right mentors for your entrepreneurs?
Yeah, it actually has. There really hasn't been a big challenge with us recruiting. One of the great things about New Brunswick is that we're a population of about 780,000 people, and there's an expression 6 degrees of separation. Well, in New Brunswick, it's 2, 2.5, and you maybe relate it to one of them. So it's very easy to reach through your network. And if you don't know someone, someone else knows someone. So, you know, we're small but mighty. And some people say, well, then you don't have a lot. You know, the pool can't be very deep. But, you know, we've got some amazing companies here. And we've got some amazing research institutes, especially the university. Where we can pull our mentors from. As I mentioned, we've had those two exits that combined for over a billion. That created a lot of zeal for entrepreneurship and a lot of desire to help. You know, if we can do it once, why can't we do it again 3 or 4 times? And people, you know, as much as there's always a concern of someone else getting ahead of you, we really don't live that way here. You know, we're very collaborative, and especially in the distilling and brewing, it's more co-opetition than anything. You know, if a competitor needed something, you know, we're out of corn. Can you lend me a bag of corn? It's no problem. And we find that translates pretty much across all facets of what we touch in Energy and Summer Institute. People want to help. And they are typically, you know, it's not often we get duds. We it's not often that we get a potential mentor that says, oh, we'd love to help, and you realize 2 mentor sessions in that they shouldn't mentor, or be near people in general, it's always a pretty good experience from our end.
So what advice would you give to someone who is just getting started with this team mentorship model? Because it might seem a little bit overwhelming in terms of the logistics of it.
Yeah, you know, it's no different than eating an elephant one bite at a time. You just have to say, okay, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do, and recognize that it's not going to be all done today. It is a process, and one foot in front of the other, and before you know it, you do have it up and running. I would suggest, you know, training of the mentors is very handy. Some of them are mentoring for the first time, and one of the things that we quickly realize, or our mentors will quickly realize, and if they don't, we make sure that we tell them anyway, is that what works for you doesn't necessarily work for someone else. So the approach that you would like a mentor to use with you may not work for the potential the company that you're mentoring. So we try to make sure that we encourage people to make sure that they're matching their approach to the company, to the founder's needs. Some people like a drill sergeant for a mentor, and some people don't. And when you get that drill sergeant, maybe that might make you crumble versus someone that is more nurturing and, takes what I'll call a softer approach, and still will end up with the same results, still very positive results. But, you just have to make sure that you're matching your personalities and your approaches to that of those being mentored, and make sure the message isn't lost in the medium, essentially.
And does the program team actually attend the sessions?
We do not. We encourage the sessions to be done without us. And the reason is, we do have a lot on the go, and we've got two programs underway right now. So we make sure, though, that there is a good feedback loop from both sides, from the mentor side and those being mentored.
That makes a lot of sense. In terms of specific impact, how do you know that your programs are creating impact? How do you measure impact, both in terms of success stories and in terms of leading indicators?
Yeah, so we have several KPIs we focus on. And of course, there's everyone's favorite. How is my accelerator doing to industry standard for longevity? Our companies are lasting this much longer than the average startup. So we've got that as a focus. But we also, from our day one, when we start a cohort, we make sure that we line up goals for the company, and we make sure that the goals are what I'll call right-sized for the 12-week period that we're working with them. But we also work in some medium and longer term goals so that they can be working towards them. So the achievement of the goals is certainly a great measurement for the companies. This is where we are today. This is where we want to be when the program is ended. That can be pretty binary. Did you make it or not? So that is a good success factor for us. And there's the great ones, when we go out and see, we've had a couple companies go out and both raise over 10 million US within, say, six months of finishing our program. We've got some companies where we have different focuses, and it could be that, you've hit your next milestone in the development process. So the feedback loop is there, and we're not just talking into a vacuum or an echo chamber. We're making sure that we give the founders an opportunity to say, listen, we're not happy, or we're not progressing in the right direction, or not that anyone has said this, but this is a waste of my time. I'm out of here. So we make sure that, you know, we're working with those companies so that they're achieving their goals. We also have some KPIs that are overlaid onto us by funders, you know, job creation, wealth creation, and such, so that our funders are seeing that their dollars are going to the best uses.
And I know a couple of programs I talked to, they view a VMS model as a way to build this very engaged community of people who graduated from the university or who just live next to the university, who become invested and engaged with university activities, and they become donors or supporters of things that the university does. Is it one of the things that you are trying to accomplish as well, or it's not?
It's not a direct focus for us. Our focus, first and foremost, is the companies and the founders. And if there are some nice ancillary or indirect benefits where, you know, people feel more beholden to the university, or, you know, choose to send their children there versus somewhere else, then great. But although we're within the the engineering faculty, we are somewhat removed from it in that, you know, we operate as an accelerator, and the accelerator operates as a startup. So we're worried about the immediacy. You know, do we have enough money to keep going and offer that next cohort? And B, you know, are we creating value within those cohorts? Those are our biggest areas of focus.
So, thank you so much for sharing. There's been a lot that you talked about. I wanted to ask, from that journey of running essentially a program within the university, I'm sure there are a lot of things that you've learned that were unexpected as you were building your managing director muscles. Could you share one or two major insights that you made through that journey?
You know, with this program, we do very much try to operate like a startup. We're lean, we're mean, and we try to get as much as we can with the resources we have. One of the biggest things I've learned probably is more patience. I feel very much that everything should be done yesterday, and it's not always the case that it'll happen that way. And working with partners, with funders, with the universities, it does sometimes take a little more time. So if we've always taught that of our startups, if your milestones are supposed to be 6 months from now and cost $100,000, assume 12 months and $200,000. That's certainly been a learning from my perspective, is that, you know, as much as you'd like to get everything done today, it's never going to happen that way, and be ready for the unexpected and the hiccups and the challenges, just like a startup. From that perspective, I feel like we very much walk in the founder's footsteps, because we are operating that way as well.
I agree with you 100%. I feel it's a pretty similar experience running a program like that or being a startup.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And we operate strictly through funding that we were able to attract. So, you know, if we don't attract the funding, we don't eat, sort of thing. So, you know, we make sure that, you know, we live the fundraising experience, just like a potential venture-backed company.
My last question for you is about the future. So for the next 12 months, and you hinted at some other programs you are building, what excites you the most about the next year ahead?
I think the next year ahead, I think this is a real growth opportunity for us. I think we can catapult our brand that much further ahead. We're very proud of the work that we've done, but I feel like we've come very close to, you know, not quite perfecting because we'll always look to improve. But the accelerators that we have, the programs that we're running, we're very happy with where they're at, and they're in a very good spot. And I believe that we can now work on our next versions, our next products, so that we can have additional offerings in the market and be able to help that many more companies. Because really, that's what it's all, you know, that's what it's all about for me. That's what I enjoy. I started coaching in junior high, so in grade 7 or 8, well, 8 or 9, I guess it would have been. So that would have been in the late 80s, as you could probably guess. And it's always been my favorite thing to do. I like to teach, and I like to share my pearls of wisdom, or you know, the stuff I've got in my toolbox that someone else has shared with me, and just to help create better, happier people. Because if you can share something that helps, reduce someone else's pain, from a technology perspective or an accounting perspective or whatever, then, you know, I feel good about that, and I can go home at night and, relax, enjoy my family and be proud of what I've done.
Thank you so much, Joe, for your time.
Thanks, Igor, and we'll chat soon.
Thank you for tuning in to the Slice of Mentorship podcast. If you're interested in mentorship or in building or upgrading your mentorship program, check out our website, traction5.com. Traction 5 is a SaaS platform that my dedicated team and I have created to help streamline the management of team mentorship and innovation programs. And I look forward to engaging with you on the next episode.